This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:03. It's great to have you with us for the Tuesday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto. The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. We will talk about the Chicago restaurant scene. They've all been hammered because of the pandemic. A lot of them still struggling to survive. Are we seeing a significant shakeup in what Chicago's restaurant future is going to look like? It's Travel Tuesday. Mexico is actually opening up and may have quite a few travel deals for people willing to travel there. Also, Apple is having its big September event. We may get a new iPad and a new iWatch introduced, the Apple Watch. Right now, the Fed is opening a two-day meeting. Several reports containing snapshots of the economy are also out today. Bob Bruska, chief economist at Fact and Opinion Economics, based in New York. Bob, it's good to have you back on the show. What do you expect to have happen out of this Fed meeting?
I expect a few yawns and no laughs. I don't think they're going to do anything. These Fed meetings are highly technical. The Fed's done an awful lot. Right now, one of the things we're still waiting on is to see if there's going to be another government program of stimulus. The Fed believes that we need more, and they've said that quite specifically. There's talk of a bipartisan deal of about $1.5 trillion being formed. We'll see if that's possible. I'm amazed to hear that. I couldn't be more amazed to hear there's a bipartisan bill moving through Congress than I could be amazed to hear that a unicorn had showed up in the White House lawn. But, you know, maybe it's going to happen. So I don't think the Fed is going to do anything. What I would hope for is a little more clarity from the Fed on its recent statement of how it's going to conduct policy. Because what it's told us so far just doesn't make any sense. You know, they haven't told us enough for it to be meaningful. If they could give us more clarity, to me, that would make a lot of sense.
And you mentioned that bipartisan bill. I mean, just yesterday on the show, we were saying, it doesn't look like a deal's going to get done at all. And then 24 hours later, you get this news. But, of course, just hearing about the bill isn't the same as actually passing the bill.
Yes, well, from your lips to God's ears, yes.
We'll see if we can get it done. Is there anything that you'd like to see as an economist in a bill? I mean, what further stimulus should happen?
Well, I still think there's an issue with the businesses, losing their credit to keep people paid and on their payrolls. I live in New York City, okay? You're in a city. I'm in a city. I can't tell you how many small businesses up and down Broadway here where I live have just closed. I mean, they're just gone. And others are just sort of limping by. You know, when they lose the support from these payroll programs, I don't know how many more are going to shut their doors. We've got to keep small business going. And at the same time, even though the Republicans don't want to do it, it's true that the tax revenues are coming a little bit better in a lot of states, but states are hurting, and you don't want to start forcing states to lay people off and to worsen the impact on the downturn. I mean, it's ironic that the governments that are in favor of keeping the shutdown going and keeping the lid on things have people in them who are not suffering any of these consequences. But you don't want them to suffer consequences because that will make things worse for everybody. So, you know, we're in a very difficult situation. There's a lot of unfairness in it. And it's why I want the economy to open up. I want people to be able to go back to work. I want them to be able to determine their own futures. And I don't like these lockdowns. And I frankly don't think that the virus is that damaging. I think that we should be taking more risk with it because what we're doing to the economy is terrible. But, you know, we're doing what we're doing.
Yeah, we see it up and down Michigan Avenue here as well in Chicago. Thank you, Bob Bruska, Chief Economist at Fact and Opinion Economics. Coming up, a Chinese-manufactured COVID-19 vaccine. It's been approved for use in one country. The government of the UAE, United Arab Emirates, has approved the use of a Chinese-produced coronavirus vaccine. Let's get the latest from Michelle Cortez, health reporter at Bloomberg News based in Minneapolis. Michelle, what do we know about this deal with UAE and China?
So what we have is a first with the UAE approving an emergency use of the vaccine from China. We have seen countries already approve their own vaccines. China has granted itself emergency authorization for two immunizations that it has come up with, and there was some controversy a few weeks back when Russia did the same. But this is the first time we have another country making a vaccine available for their population that was made by someone else.
And as far as the delivery, I mean, you got a lot of doses just in China alone to also have the UAE do it. They must be planning on really ramping up production here.
They absolutely have to hit production in large numbers. We're talking about hundreds of millions of people. A lot of these vaccines require two doses, and you just have to be able to get it to all of the people. So it's not just a matter of the challenge of the manufacturing. It's also the delivery and the administration itself. Many of these vaccines require very low temperatures for storage, so the hurdles are enormous.
And we're hearing that everyone's thought a vaccine would be sometime next year. It's sounding like this might be ready sometime this year.
Exactly. Well, so the UAE does have it now. China actually has a number of vaccinations under development. They have another one that they say they might be able to get on the market by November. In the United States, we're also working on some of that, where there is reports from Pfizer, Moderna, and AstraZeneca, all of them saying it might be possible to get something on the market in the U.S. before the end of the year.
We have the global numbers on coronavirus deaths. The World Health Organization say they rose last week. Is that any sort of a surprise, or was that expected given the number of infections?
Right. We do know that deaths follow infections, and infections have been creeping up a little bit lately. Over the last couple of days, they've come down, which is good. But really, we are expecting increasing numbers of infections and deaths as we go into the fall and the winter in the Northern Hemisphere. As people go inside, people are getting, you know, pandemic fatigue, don't want to do the social distancing anymore, don't want to wear the mask. Everyone wants to get back to school and college and work and partying and everything else. And so we are expecting these numbers to increase. It's just going to be a matter of how well do we control it as that happens.
And that's one of the things that a lot of people have noticed is after all of these months, some people say, you know, I'm just not dealing with that anymore. And especially young people, that is likely why we're seeing these outbreaks on some college campuses.
Absolutely. We're seeing huge numbers of outbreaks on college campuses, and the number of infections are dramatic. They're increased. Of course, we're doing a lot more testing there as well. There's news, Cisco, actually just breaking right now from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention that shows that children are actually still dying at increasing rates. And in fact, minority children are the most at risk. 75% of children who have died in the United States are Black, Hispanic, and Alaskan Native American. So we really do need to be on the lookout as we start going back to school and some of these kids are going to be exposed to the virus.
And that gets us back to the vaccine issue. Bill Gates was quoted as saying, hey, all right, yeah, we get a vaccine, but then how do we actually get it to people? That distribution is going to be a challenge.
100%. And not only that, it's not even a matter of how do we distribute it, it's who do we give it to. So you have to remember that just because some particular portions of the population have gotten a vaccine or might be protected, until we protect everyone, we're all still at risk. So if you give the vaccine to people who are unlikely to come into contact, say people who are able to work from home, maybe they don't have young kids, they themselves aren't high risk with other comorbidities, but they're concerned, as everyone is, and get the vaccine. Meanwhile, we have populations of, you know, people who are working in close quarters, or perhaps in a foreign country where there are very high levels. If we see the virus continuing to circulate in those populations, it keeps it alive for everyone. And that keeps that threat going on and on and on until we get global coverage. So we really need to make sure that we're prioritizing the highest risk areas, not just individual risk, but the risk to the globe.
Thanks so much, Michelle Cortez, health reporter at Bloomberg News. Up next, predictions of a restaurant collapse in Chicago.
a deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
With capacity still severely limited because of the pandemic, the fall and winter look bleak for the restaurant industry. Let's get an update from Doug Roth, founder and president of Playground Hospitality. Doug, there has to be a legitimate concern among the restaurants that are still open, whether or not they can survive a winter with obviously much less outdoor seating and not a lot of people allowed inside.
Hello, Cisco. Good afternoon. Today is one of those anomalies that we're certainly not going to feel, obviously, in the fourth quarter, being sunny and warm in 73. Yes, we really have some issues that we need to take a close look at. Just as of today, in fact, most of the news articles I'm getting, over 100,000 restaurants, one in six, have already closed. And we're looking at another 40% in the next 6 months if there isn't necessarily government intervention. But you're correct. We need to find solutions at this point that individuals feel comfortable dining outdoors. And there are not a lot of them.
You have a situation in different neighborhoods where the reasons are different. You have the capacity issues, obviously. Downtown here, I mean, as we look around, there's not a lot of people working here, not a lot of tourists, if any, and that's obviously a drag on the businesses. So what is it? I mean, what could help these businesses survive during those cold weather months if it's not only capacity, but also just a lack of people?
Well, I think one of the major things that many have done, and I think the word of 2020 is the word pivot. And a lot of restaurants have done that, and that is in the sense of carry out and delivery. You have to be able to create a menu at this point that is going to be friendly, is going to be something that is going to be used from the standpoint by consumers in the context that there is food that is appealing. And right now, the food that's most appealing is comfort food. Which makes sense. And as obviously as we get into the winter season, more and more people are going to move in that direction to sort of warm the soul.
If people need people in the, if restaurateurs need people in the restaurants, does outdoor seating with, I don't know, tents, heaters, that sort of thing, does that make sense over those winter months or is that not even really possible?
It is possible, and that's a good point. One thing I'd like to see is that we extend in the city the opportunity at this point to use streets, still use closures, get some additional funding from both local and national governments in helping restaurateurs right now be able to use those spaces with tents. Because I think what people are most concerned about, and at least what I've been hearing, is circulation in these environments. And over 70% of diners are wary of eating indoors. So as a result, outdoors is really sort of the only opportunity, and looking at geodesic domes and different types of really innovative products are the way to go. But again, you have to have funding to do that.
Yeah, a lot of money in order to make that pivot that you're talking about. Yeah, thank you. That's Doug Roth, founder and president of Playground Hospitality here in Chicago. Still ahead, it's Travel Tuesday. Currently, some great deals on trips to Mexico.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. Thanks for being with us. I'm Cisco Cotto. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. A free event in Chicago provides food to people and their pets. A settlement is reached in the killing of Breonna Taylor by police in Louisville. Travel Tuesday could be a great time to score a deal on a vacation to Mexico. Apple is revealing its latest products during a virtual visit in California today. WBBM Business, the Dow up 118 points. The NASDAQ is up 170, and the S&P is up 29 points. Oil up 3.33%. Residents of Chicago's South Side being given a hand for themselves and their animal friends. WBBM's Mike Krauser reports.
A pop-up food pantry for people and their pets at 79th and Halsted. Steve Weaver with the Anti-Cruelty Society.
You know, people are hurting right now, and so they're not only need food for people, but food for their pets also. I think, unfortunately, sometimes people feed their animals before themselves.
They had 5,000 pounds of pet food. The Greater Auburn Gresham Gresham Development Corporation is behind the Food for Humans. Carlos Nelson is the CEO.
This pandemic has just peeled back the onion on so many issues. Many of the families that are driving through, I mean, these are folks that, you know, have been one paycheck away from housing instability as well.
The Greater Chicago Food Depository was also providing meals. On the South Side, Mike Krauser, News Radio, 105.9 FM.
A settlement has been reached in a wrongful death lawsuit involving relatives of Breonna Taylor in the city of Louisville. Lawyers for her family say the agreement includes a significant amount of money and police reforms, but they haven't elaborated on the details. More information expected later today. The 26-year-old Taylor was killed in March when police officers were serving a search warrant related to a drug investigation at her apartment. At the White House right now, Israel signing a new peace deal with Bahrain and the UAE. President Trump earlier described it as the dawn of the new Middle East. If you miss any portion of the Noon Business Hour, the replay podcast is available at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Radio.com app.
Conversation that's on the money. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The Noon Business Hour, presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Markets are gaining ground today, especially tech. Let's see what's going on. Chuck Carlson is here, CEO of Horizon Investment Services, publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast newsletter based in Hammond. Chuck, what do you make of what you're seeing on Wall Street today?
It's a nice broad-based move. I know tech is doing well, as reflected by the NASDAQ up being about 1.5%. But tech isn't leaving everything else in the dust today. You've got the S&P 500 up almost 85 basis points. You've got the Dow up nicely, small caps and the Russell 2000. And, you know, that one index that's near and dear to my heart, the Dow Jones Transportation Average, is having a really nice day as well. So you're seeing the kind of broad-based strength and also in kind of a measured way, not the crazy trading that we have seen in the last few weeks. And I think that all bodes well for the market.
What have you made of kind of the up and down on tech recently?
Well, it's not unusual. I mean, it's not surprising when you think about what the moves a lot of those technology stocks have had. You know, they were sure to give back some of that, and we saw that in, you know, in spades last week. But I think, you know, the call from people that, boy, there's a tech bubble and so forth is really focusing on a very limited number of technology stocks. And the other issue is, quite frankly, the tech stocks are where the growth is, and growth is still a premium, especially given the current economic climate we have. And so investors are going to go where the growth is, and that continues to be tech. But again, it's nice to see the rally broadening out here, especially today.
Kraft Heinz says $2 billion in cost cuts over 5 years. Is this something to be concerned about? Is this just a sign of the times?
Well, I think it's a sign of them kind of reverting back to the DNA that the folks who bought Kraft Heinz has, and that's really a cost-cutting mode. Now, in addition to that, what may be even more significant, I guess Heinz announced a few minutes ago that they're going to be selling a cheese business for about $3.2 billion. So you've got the company, on the one hand, cutting costs and shedding some unwanted divisions. On the other hand, what investors hope will happen is that they take those savings and maybe they do something in terms of improving the marketing of their existing brands. Kraft has, you know, the biggest draw to Kraft, quite frankly, from an investment standpoint, has been its dividend yield, which is about 5%. The stock hasn't had the huge bump that a lot of the stay-at-home consumer products companies have enjoyed, but I do think these moves will draw investor interest to it, and we're seeing that a little bit today. The stock up about 1.5% right now.
Yeah, that was actually one of my questions. Is this now a more attractive investment that they're going to be executing this over several years?
No, I think it's probably more attractive than it was yesterday. It shows that there is, you know, activity at the company and a willingness to try to improve. You know, the proof will be in the pudding, though, going forward in terms of what kind of organic growth the company can muster. They're talking about 1-2% organic growth going forward after maybe a higher than that level here in the short term. 1-2% generally doesn't get it done quite for investors, but I think, again, with the cost cutting, investors are going to maybe give this stock the benefit of the doubt. You know, upside might be a little bit limited, but I think downside's probably limited too, helped by that 5% dividend yield.
Thanks so much for the insight, Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services. Up next, it's Travel Tuesday, a vacation hotspot that you may want to get on the calendar.
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Travel Tuesday. Today, we're looking south of the border for value on trips to Mexico. We're joined by Angie Rice, co-founder at Boutique Travel Advisors based in Scottsdale. You can find her online at travelbta.com. Angie, you're actively booking people on trips to Mexico. There are some deals to be had.
That's correct. I actually secured a wonderful vacation for a fall break for a family of three just today.
So what kind of deals? Is it the resorts? Is it the flights? Is it sort of all of it right now?
Well, actually, I think it's less about the deals that you might find online. And I think, you know, working with a professional, you really get the opportunity to utilize the relationships with the hotels. I mean, I'm able to work with our partner hotels, especially with occupancy levels as low as they are right now. In Mexico, the occupancy rate is currently at 30%. That's the regulation, and certainly that could change. But when you're traveling with low occupant rates, you have the opportunity to receive upgrades and other amenities, you know, spa experiences, and ways that the hotels can really customize that experience by working with, you know, an advisor. You can utilize those relationships, and we can really figure out what is the best value for each particular family or couple that's traveling.
And that also reflects the fact that they need you there, right? I mean, these resorts, they need people to be there if they're going to stick around.
You know, Mexico relies heavily on tourism, and I think they're taking a great strategy. Certainly, safety is so important, and it's always important, but Mexico, instead of putting the pressure and the stress on the traveler by requiring forms and COVID testing, they've created and implemented regulations throughout the tour operators, the transfer companies, and the hotels are given specific procedures to follow so that, you know, provides the safety measures and the consistency so travelers can worry less about, you know, forms and testing and focus more on the experience and letting the hotels really take care of them and making sure that those procedures are in place.
And is there a record here that it's looking like that's actually happening? I mean, I have to assume as soon as anyone calls you, that's their first question. Is it safe to do this?
Right. I mean, I spoke with Grand Velas today, one of the hotels that I love. It's great for families. It's great for romantic getaways and weddings. And they gave me such great insight. You know, with more of a, if you, right now is a great time to look at traveling and maybe staying at a more luxurious hotel than you normally would, because they're already used to providing more customized experiences and focusing on allowing for private settings on property. And they're doing some unique things. You know, obviously when we travel, you don't want to travel if you can't entertain. You know, that's, we want to relax and we want to entertain. And I think there's a lot of concern in addition to safety, whether or not the experience is going to be compromised. Grand Velas is doing some amazing things. They're doing, you know, a picnic in paradise night where they set up picnics on the beach and you can stargaze. They're doing some amazing fun family nights on the terrace outside your suite. Those are things that I think are extremely value added. And those are types of services that, you know, would be more costly in a normal environment, but they're able to really focus. I mean, at 30% occupancy, you're able to really focus on and be able to customize the experience for the travel. So there certainly is some incentive and added value to traveling right now, you know, as long as you feel safe. And certainly if you're, you know, you're immune or you have you feel compromised with traveling, I mean, you know, that's to be taken into consideration. You do have to feel healthy enough to travel.
Is there sort of an urgency to this? If you want a deal, you have to act now to travel now, or can you book something now for maybe a few months out and still get a deal?
You know, now's a great time to be booking well in advance as well because of the terms and conditions being more flexible. Certainly, terms and conditions can change at any time. And right now, the airlines, the hotels, they're offering very flexible terms. A lot of hotels are offering, you know, 24-hour, 48-hour cancellation policies for travel to Mexico, where typically you're looking at a 30-day cancellation for Mexico. And then for festive, traveling at wintertime, that can be a 90-day cancellation term, whereas right now they've shortened that term to more like 30 days. So Definitely with a full package experience, there's more flexibility to either cancel that trip or reschedule it without, you know, losing your investment.
Thanks so much. Angie Rice, co-founder of Boutique Travel Advisors in Scottsdale, Arizona. That's Travel Tuesday. Join us at this time tomorrow for Personal Finance Wednesday. Still to come today, the latest product launch by Apple.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Apple is unveiling its latest innovations during an online event from its headquarters today. We welcome Scott Kessler, Global Sector Lead for Technology, Media, and Telecom at Third Bridge, based in New York. Scott, what can we expect out of this event?
Well, Cisco, thanks a lot for having me. Look, this event is going on now. Everyone can watch and listen as we speak. But, of course, they should listen to what we have to say about it first, perhaps. So I think going into the event, the big question was going to be whether or not Apple was going to announce new iPhones. And the reason that that seemingly is in question or has been in question is really for two reasons. Number one, when Apple reported results most recently, they talked about iPhone availability not taking place until perhaps October, which is a little later than normal and wouldn't really make sense for, let's call it, a mid-September event. And then, of course, the second thing is the event has been entitled Time Flies, which obviously suggests perhaps a focus on the Apple Watch, which is exactly what the company led with for the first part of the event.
The Apple Watch, is it just more features, or is it in some way faster? I mean, what can they do to improve it? It's already a pretty good product.
Yeah, well, that's actually one of the biggest challenges Apple has had over the last decade is they've introduced all these great products, and people are criticizing them for not innovating sufficiently with new and exciting products. All the while, they've been making their existing products better and better. I think the Apple Watch is a good example of that. They announced the Apple Watch Series 6, and it has some interesting features. It has a blood oxygen monitor, which is pretty relevant given the coronavirus that, you know, has been plaguing the world for the last 6 to 9 months. They have a sleep tracker, which is something I would argue is a relatively commonplace feature across comparable products. You reference the notion of, you know, being faster and more powerful. That's definitely true for the Apple Watch Series 6. In addition, they announced, I think, some additional features. So a family sharing feature, which should enable or at least drive more unit sales. So essentially you won't need to have your own iPhone to have your own watch. So that's noteworthy. And then they also announced an SE version of the watch, which essentially is a lower end watch option, which again should help with sales volumes.
Yeah, getting more units out the door. Thank you. Really insightful. That is Scott Kessler, Global Sector Lead for Technology, Media, and Telecom at Third Bridge.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.